It's time for Fairbanks Foodies, a look at everything food-related in Fairbanks. Fairbanks Foodies is brought to you by Hoodoo Brewery, Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Now here's your foodie host, David Pruse.
Good evening, Fairbanks. Welcome to our locally produced show, Fairbanks Foodies. I'm your host, David Pruse. On this show, we explore meals you can prepare, restaurants to try, events you can participate in, beverages you can create, basically, the fun you can have with food, your family, your friends, here in Fairbanks. We have wonderful sponsors of our show. I hope you use them all. They treat us so very fine, and we certainly appreciate them. In the studio with me, I have Nevada Walton. Nevada here is here to help me cook off the month of March. And this month's theme will be tacos. Nevada, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
When I first saw the theme of tacos, at first it was about restaurants. But then I remember that you cooked the best tacos I've ever had. So I thought, okay, let's spread it out. Let's look at some restaurants and bring people who really enjoy cooking tacos, put them on the air, and see how they do it. You know, be it shrimp tacos, fish tacos, beef tacos, hamburger tacos, chicken tacos, pork butt tacos, whatever it is. But you make great tacos. So let's first talk about your culture, because your culture brings us into the love of food this way.
Well, my culture actually is that I am of Mexican descent, but I really didn't grow up a lot around my Mexican family. So the few times that I did get to be around them, though, when I was younger, we did a lot of cooking as a family, and some things were like an all-day event. I remember making tortillas and tamales and all kinds of different things like that with the family. I have a cousin who also does chiles, and she does a great job with that.
A lot of it's spontaneous.
Can be, yeah. For me, it tends to be pretty spontaneous.
Yeah, it was, you know, when I asked you to do this, boom, you know, a great reason to have people come over. And then next thing you know, your granddaughter Lila, she wants to get involved, so you're teaching her how to cut and chop, you know, tomatoes and lettuce and things like that.
Yeah, sometimes the house is just a magnet for people to come over. Like that particular day, my brother dropped in unannounced. I had invited a couple of people, but then also my daughter and her kiddos came over unannounced as well. Turned out to be really fun,
as it usually does. Yeah, your dad was there, and I saw the next generation. You know, not your daughter, but your granddaughter. You know, okay, this is how grandma does it. So it was great to see.
Yeah, actually, that particular night, we had probably four generations of us there.
Yeah. Yes, you did. Yeah. Yes, you did. So you have a process, and I got to witness your entire production in Fairbanks. I was quizzing her, taking copious notes. I had six pages of notes on just taco making. I mean, six pages of notes. And it was so in-depth, so detailed. So let's start with how you make your guacamole dip. That's where you started with me.
Okay, so yeah, guacamole is always fun to serve with tacos because, you know, many people like guacamole on their tacos, but it's great with chips too. And so it's always just a fun addition. So guacamole, really, of course, the base is ripe avocados, not too ripe, but then they can't be too hard either. And mine is really a pretty simple recipe. I start with onions and garlics minced up pretty small. Throw in some chopped up tomatoes, some fresh cilantro, and stir the whole works all together. I might put in some things occasionally, a little bit of chili powder, maybe a little bit of Mrs. Dash, just to give it a little flair or a different flavor. And then what I do, after you get it all mixed up, it's good to have guacamole set for a few hours
You put any lime on it?
Well, yeah, I'm going to get to that in a minute. Yeah.
All right.
But See, he's very observant. Yes. So, so I do, depending on how much I'm making, like if I'm going to make enough guacamole for like, say, 3 or 4 avocados, then I would put in probably close to a full lime's worth of lime juice. And after you stir up all that other stuff and then you stir in the lime juice, it's good to cover it, although oftentimes the citrus will keep it from getting brown. But if you really want to be for sure, because sometimes while you let it set and mix all those flavors together, the top can get just a smidgen brown, as you have probably seen that on avocados. And so the way to prevent that is, one of the ways that I do it is I put just a very thin layer of sour cream over the top and seal it up at all the edges of the bowl. And then I just put it in the refrigerator for several hours.
Well, you also taught me, and I observed, was when you're cooking, when you're cutting up your onion, white onion, that you cut it all up because you're using it in your guacamole, you're using it in your taco meat, then you're using it as a taco condiment.
Correct.
So, okay. Yeah. Helpful hint there, Fairbanks.
Yeah. But just keep in mind, for your guacamole, you do want it to be a little bit smaller than what you put in the meat and what you put on the table.
There you go. Now, let's look at starting your taco meat. Start it from the beginning.
Yeah, this is funny. I never really realized it was such a production because it just seems so natural and easy and fun to do. So
until you were describing it to me, what you're doing, how you're doing it, why you're doing it, and when you're doing it.
Yeah, and then it was like, wow, didn't realize there are all these steps. But again, with the taco meat, I like to start with a little bit of garlic, fresh minced up garlic, fresh cut, diced up onions so that they're not necessarily too small, but not too big either. And
mama bear size.
Yeah, there you go. And depends on what your frame of thought is. I personally like to put the strongest flavor of something like that in the oil first. So I usually start with the garlic, although some people start with the onions because they're more translucent or something like
that.
Take
them longer to cook.
Yeah, but the garlic's pretty small. So,
yeah.
So I have a little bit of oil in the pan, not too much because, you know, the meat's going to produce some too, but you need to saute up the garlic and the onions.
So you're basically at medium low.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, hot enough to like get them going, but not too much. You don't want to burn them. And garlic, of course, is very delicate. It can burn.
Mm-hmm.
And so while you're doing this, you want to continually keep the stirring going. So you put the garlic down first, just let it get sort of covered and heated. Then you throw in the onions. And I like to use wooden utensils, although I don't know that it matters that much. But then I just kind of keep stirring it around and flipping it over and things like that until they're almost cooked all the way through. Not quite all the way, the onions mostly, because by that time the garlic is cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put in, I like to use lean hamburger, pretty lean, like 93% beef and 7% of the fats. But some people like it to be the other version, so
we're
kind
gonna,
of your choice.
Yeah, we're going to jump to a reason why, because you're sweating it out. You want less liquid in there at the end.
Yes, that is one of the things.
One of the reasons, yeah.
Although I didn't realize that was what I was doing.
Until I was asking questions and you're giving me instructions, yeah, okay.
So then I put the hamburger in and I kind of mix that in with the onions and the garlic.
How do you put it in?
Well, I usually just kind of crumble it in with my hands.
Not all at once, it's just handfuls in.
Yeah, handfuls in. I mean, I'm not like letting it all cook first and then throwing in more. I just sort of slowly put it in the pan. I'm usually yak attacking and things like that too. So
having a family event.
Yeah. So then once we get all the hamburger in there, kind of let it cook a little bit, stirring it up, cooking it slowly. As it's cooking, I'm adding in my herbs, which again, cilantro, chile. Sometimes, again, I'll put in a little Mrs. Dash. I personally like Mrs. Dash. If you don't like it, you don't have to use it.
Is that your salt substitute?
I guess so. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it already has pepper in it as well.
Okay.
So then as that's cooking along, you know, as you did say, it will get fluids in it. And I had always been told that the citrus, even though it is an acidic food, tends to neutralize acidity. I did find out, though, very recently that that is not really true. What the citrus does is that it triggers your pancreas to release certain chemicals that then neutralizes the meats that come into your body. So, a little scientific thought there.
Okay.
But anyway, so we get the thing cooked. And when I put in these herbs, the cilantro is fresh cilantro. So it's, you know, pretty good sized handful. Again, depending on how many people you're serving, could be anywhere from 1 to 3 pounds of hamburger. And of course, the size of your pan.
You had 8 people there and you had 2 pounds. So you're looking at a quarter pound of a burger per person, basically.
Yeah, usually,
and,
yeah.
And your amounts were just, you still had some left over.
Yep, still did have a little bit left over. So anyway, once you get all of those things in, it's kind of cooking along. When it's about halfway there, then I cover the top. I just was sprinkling with the chili powder, but want to coat the whole surface of the hamburger in the pan. Now, some people like to use that taco mix that, you know, you might be familiar with. I, of course, am not so fond of that particularly, but I do like to have the little chile powder taste. I like to have that little Mexican bite.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I use the chile powder instead of the mix. But I don't really know if it's like a teaspoon or a tablespoon because I've never served it in that way. I've always just covered the top.
Yeah, I saw a light covering on all of it. A light covering on all of it.
Yeah. And it does actually cover all the meat. So you're not going to see any patches where there is no chili powder. Then you mix that all in and you continue cooking. Of course, by now it's steaming. Your liquids are beginning to sweat off, as you said. And so then as it's pretty close to being done, the way I notice it is because there's very little liquid in the bottom of the pan.
Yeah.
And then I like to, again, for this kind of stimulating the pancreas to neutralize. The meat and the chile are very acidic to the body. So we want to try to find ways to neutralize some of these things if we can. And so I like to put in probably the juice of, if for that 2 pounds of hamburger, we used a full lime for the juice. Just squeeze it in and around.
Now you have a juicer.
Yeah, I have one of those mechanical
presses.
Ones. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you said something really interesting. You said you get oil from the skin.
Oh, yeah. And that is true. When you use those pressers versus just squeezing it in your hands, it forces a little bit of the oil out of the skin of the lime, which just adds a little bit more to it.
And you do something else that Sammy Hagar showed me. On how to make a margarita, pressing and rolling it.
Oh, yes.
The and, lime.
Yeah. And, of course, the reason why, you do know why, right, David?
Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah. So it breaks up the fibers and makes the juice a little bit more easier to extract.
That's what Sammy told me.
Great. You got to meet Sammy.
Yeah. And how he makes a margarita. He makes a great margarita, you know. And, you know, it was interesting. You were contemplating margaritas with dinner. This is unnatural, but we didn't. No margaritas.
No, not that night. But I usually do when I serve out tacos. I usually make margaritas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're moving on and you're cooking it. Do you still have other ingredients to put in?
Yeah, that's pretty much as most of the ingredients as I believe.
Tarragon?
Oh, I did put in a little tarragon. That is true. I do that. And really, another one that I could have put in that I did not would be oregano. But a lot of Mexican foods do have a little bit of oregano. Oftentimes, pinto beans have a little oregano included in them as well.
And also, you put in some Lean Parents.
Oh, yes. I did do that, too.
Now, I took copious notes.
You sure did. Now, when I'm in my kitchen, all my stuff is right there,
yeah, you know,
so I just
yet.
Automatically know how to do it. And now, that is one that probably most Mexicans would not include in their tacos, but that's my little Nevada twist.
It works.
Because
it works.
I like that in them. So if you might have noticed, I kind of make tacos to my liking.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, there's a million ways to cook the meat to your liking. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break, hear from our sponsors. We'll be back after these messages.
Hoodoo Brewery. Sure, you grab a cold one after work with your friends and coworkers in the amazing beer garden. Or maybe fill up the growler on the way home. Hoodoo Brewery. Some of the finest beer in all of Alaska, right here in Fairbanks, right in the heart of downtown. Now you can order your beer online at hoodoobrew.com or sign up for a tour of the brewery. Score some cool Hoodoo swag and support your local beer meisters. That's Hoodoo Brewery, a strong supporter of Fairbanks and local events, large and small. Hoodoo is always there with a cold one just for you. Hoodoo Brewery.
At Bobby's Downtown, we are more than a Greek restaurant that offers fine dining. It's our way of life. And we invite you to come in for lunch, dinner, and late night. We are proud to call Fairbanks home, and we love using locally sourced ingredients in our traditional Greek and American dishes. So come in from the cold and warm up at the bar with a heated handrail and enjoy a glass of wine from the always expanding wine selection. We hope to see you soon at the always non-smoking Bobby's Downtown on the corner of 2nd and Barnett.
It's great to be able to enjoy our favorite local restaurants once again. And you can thank the folks at Quality Sales Food Service. Even during the toughest of times, they were making sure local eateries had the food and supplies needed to keep their businesses open. Quality Sales Food Service, Interior Alaska's number one food supplier, teaming up with Gold Bond Marketing, have allowed them to buy in volume and keep prices low, which helps keep your dinner costs low as well. That's Quality Sales Food Service, the food suppliers for your favorite restaurants. Online at qualitysales.net.
Do you have a little or even a lot of time to share? You can help with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Call 45-SHARE and get on the schedule. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank collects and redistributes food through many programs, including food boxes, bone builders, and agency shopping. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank, helping to ensure that no child in the Tanana Valley will go hungry. Call 45-SHARE to volunteer to help now at the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, providing food for hungry people without charge. This message brought to you by the radio station at 529 Fifth Avenue.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks, welcome back. It's a wonderful Saturday night. It's March. Lots of sunshine during the day. March is my most favorite, one of my favorite, it's my favorite winter month. It can be 30 above during the day and 20, 25 below at night. It was gorgeous out today. I was almost needing sunglasses. Soon we're going to be looking at barbecuing, but the month of March, it's all about the tacos. So, we're coming into your big finish on just your meat. So you've put in, at the end, you've got the tarragon in there. Then at the very end, you're putting in some lime, as I saw.
Yep. So then after we get the lime in, we stir it all up one more time. We kind of let it continue to steam off. And then I turn it down to very, very low at that point and just cover it with a lid while I then prepare the other things. In this case, when you were at my house the other night, we got my granddaughter, Lila, was very excited to help with the cutting up. So she cut up the lettuce and the tomatoes. And sometimes you can mix other greens in with your lettuce. And in this case, that night, we mixed in some chopped up spinach as well.
What I found was the way you were doing it was it's a process and you're adding different ingredients at different times. You didn't add the lime and the lean parens until basically it was done. And then you didn't add your chili seasoning until it was almost done. So you didn't start with it. You didn't throw it in the very beginning. You let the meat cook in the onion and the garlic, and then you had a process.
Yeah.
And it was a very good process.
Well, I like to do it in that way because it seems like it blends the flavors better.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of just lay them down on top of each other, and it makes a nice mix, but at the same time, they have a little distinct taste of their own at the same time.
Okay, so you're done with the meat. You have it off. You have it covered, letting more moisture evaporate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at your tortillas.
Yes, and for me, I cannot be distracted from the tortillas.
And why is that? Why is that?
I'm very good at burning the tortillas.
And what did I tell you about my mom?
Yes, she always brought two loaves of bread for the very reason.
Yeah, she would always burn the first loaf of Italian bread and or French whatever, and the second one she was spot on.
Yeah, so I have learned this over time, that I cannot be distracted. So if I don't have helpers to help me with the cutting up, and just for convenience, I usually buy shredded cheese now, but used to make it with a shredder or even by hand, shred.
Mm-hmm.
But those jobs, when I have people there, especially the grandkids, they love to help. So while they're doing that, then I begin to cook the tortillas. And, of course, some people love flour tortillas with their tacos, and other people like corn tortillas.
I had one of each.
Yes. And so I like to always provide an option for whoever has their favorite kind. But the corn tortillas, one has to be very careful, because you don't want them to be too hard, but at the same time, if they're not cooked hot enough, they just absorb the oil. And you really want to cook them in the oil. They're going to absorb some, but then you let that get off a little bit on your paper towels. But if it's too cool, if the oil is too cool, they just get more soggy than semi-crispy.
The perfect temperature is when you put the corn tortilla down and it's bubbling around the edges of the tortilla.
Yes. Yeah, good observation. That's right. And, you know, that, of course, took me some time to learn to do that. The other thing is that you want to have enough oil in the pan, not so much that you're not deep frying them, so mm-hmm. you don't have so much oil that it covers over the top when you put the tortilla in, but that it does bubble up around the edges. So, you know, you cook it for, I don't even know how long I was cooking them for, not that long, a few probably not even a minute.
Each side and have those wood tongs.
Yep, and I like to use wooden utensils. Yep. Although you could use a fork, you could use regular tongs. Doesn't really matter. Probably could even use a spatula for that matter. But anyways, flip them over. Flip the tortilla over. I usually choose a pan that is about the same size as the tortillas. So corn tortillas are kind of interesting because they come in a variety of sizes, just like flour tortillas. So I like to choose the pan that's close in size to the tortilla that I'm heating up.
The 6-inch tortilla.
All right. Well, there you go.
I was taking copious notes.
I guess so. Anyway, so then I make those, and I'd be very careful to keep an eye on them and not let my guests distract me or my margarita making distract me or anything else like that. And I even joke about it because, of course,
the margaritas you've had distract you.
Well, there you go. But I have to joke about it because I'm kind of famous for this. You know, I've been making these tacos for like many years, let's just say that, a couple of generations worth. At any rate, so I have to keep very good track of it. And so as I cook the tortillas, I have paper towels and I lay them between a paper towel. So each mm-hmm. one has a paper towel between it. Once I finish cooking all of the corn tortillas, because I cannot seem to double task with cooking flour tortillas and corn tortillas at the same time, although sometimes I can. So then I begin you're basically just warming up flour tortillas the way that we do it now. My mother, when she was young, she worked in a Mexican restaurant, when she was a teenager, and her sole job was to make tortillas. So she learned how to make the best tortillas.
Wow.
And I've never been able to make them that like that, so I don't really even try anymore. But it's easier to just to buy them as well. But if you do happen to like to make flour tortillas and you're good at it, they're really the best to be homemade.
And, you know, you don't use any oil in your flour tortilla. When you use, you're just heating it up.
Correct.
And then on your corn tortillas, you put it on a paper towel down, put the corn tortilla down, paper towel on top, and you just layer the corn tortillas in paper towels. On paper towels. Yeah. On the flour tortillas, you put them all on a plate, then covered them with a clean kitchen towel to keep them warm. Two different styles.
Yes, and I usually fold the towel in half so the first tortilla goes on the towel itself. And then keep them covered and warm while you're making each one. And again, you're heating them up in a fairly hot skillet, but not too hot because otherwise it burns. But one of the things that I use as my check to see, are they hot enough? Are they the way that I want them? Is as on the first side, as they begin to bubble up, because when you heat them, the air expands and creates little bubbles. So as soon as those bubbles are there, then I flip the thing over. It will create still a few more bubbles. And once that I feel like it's browned enough, I just kind of flip it a couple of times just to make sure it's equally hot, and then put it on the tray with the towel, covering it over with the towel. So then you make up, you know, however many of those there are. Typically what I do, sometimes I will ask people, how many tacos do you want? Do you want flour and corn or whatever? And but if I don't do that, I usually just plan on two flour tortillas per person, if they happen to be a flour tortilla lover, and three corn tortillas per person is my general rule of thumb, and then I always make a few extra just in case.
You have a lot of condiments available to put on the tacos.
Yes, because so many people like so many different things.
I like everything, but yeah. So, I don't like ketchup. I don't like ketchup, but other people do.
Yeah, I'm probably the only one in my family who likes ketchup on their tacos, actually. Most Mexicans would laugh at that, I am sure.
We're not dissing your heritage, and they're not dissing you. Okay.
All right. No, we would all be laughing together because I realize that myself.
But you had the lettuce, you had the tomato, you had the onion, you had olives, black olives. You had, you know, guacamole can be out there. You had sour cream, you had the hot sauce or the mild sauce.
Yeah, and I usually try to have a couple of different things like that. So salsa, a lot of people like salsa.
Yeah.
So I'll serve out salsa with it. Some people like green or verde taco sauce. So and there's a couple of different varieties of that. So I usually will have that. My mother used to also serve chiles with hers as well. So I don't do that, but some people do. Yeah.
You know, there's a, we have, these are the restaurants that serve Hispanic Mexican food. You have El Dorado on 4th Avenue. You have Lane's Cookie Tacos on College Road, and they're a legend. Miguel's at Shoppers Forum. Taco Azteca, the Mayan Palace in the Washington Plaza. Taco King on the Old Steese Highway. Gallo's Mexican Restaurant, that's off College near Costco. Then out on 4 Wayne Drive is a Senior Moose Grill.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my my favorite one to go to is Taco King, believe it or not. They have great, you know, it's, you get in there, you're going to get your food fast, but it's homemade, fresh, in front of you, very affordable.
Yes, and it's authentic as well. Taco King's quite popular.
Yeah.
Gallo's is actually quite popular, too. They do a lot of their own homemade things.
Yeah. It's good homemade food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, different. If you don't want the taco, they have other things there for you. My favorite thing in the winter is getting the pozo, or any soup, at
Pollo
at Taco King. You know, oh, my goodness. And you put in your onion, your salsa, your oregano in there. You put in your, you know, tear up your tortillas and you put it in there. It's just wonderful. Just wonderful.
Yep, and the cheese and all that. Yeah. You know, one thing a lot of people like to put also on tacos is refried beans. They like to put that on the bottom. Sometimes they like to serve it on the side. A lot of people like rice. Could be Mexican rice. Could be white rice. Could be rice and beans even. So those are other things that you can serve with your tacos.
Fairbanks, that's our show for today. Glad you are listening to it. This weekend, this Sunday, I'm going to go to the Greens restaurant out there because they also serve a Sunday buffet. Got to try that. And I'll give you a report on that next week along with some taco stories. You have a great Saturday night and a Sunday, and I'll see you next week.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on 97.5 FM KFAR and 660 AM, also streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen to this or any past episodes, go to the archive page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Fairbanks Foodies has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active for KFAR Radio.